invite you to take out your Bibles. We are starting a new series today that will be going throughout the month of August called The Message of the Prophets. Throughout history, God sent men and women to be his voice, his ambassador, his mouthpiece, if you will, into different situations and times in history. So over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at five different prophets. Four of them are prophets from the Old Testament. One of them, the prophet we're looking at today, is a prophet listed in the New Testament. Three of the prophets are men. Two of the prophets are women. Some would be considered major prophets. Like next week, we'll be looking at the prophet Isaiah. He's a major prophet because he wrote a lot of stuff. And so if you look in the Bible, there's a book called Isaiah, and it's pretty long. And so that's why he's called a major prophet. There's other prophets that are called minor prophets because they didn't write very much. So that would be people like Micah and Hosea. Then there's some other prophets that are listed in the scriptures as prophets, and yet they didn't really write anything at all. But they were still very much God's mouthpiece into particular situations. And that's the case for the prophet we're going to be looking at today. The prophet, or some translations would refer to her as a prophetess. So depending on what translation you read, you'll come up one of those two ways. The prophetess, or prophet, Anna. And she's a prophet in the New Testament that she's kind of hidden in plain sight. Because at least I've never heard a sermon preached on the prophet Anna before. Maybe, have you, anybody here heard a sermon on that? You're welcome. Today is your big day. Okay, so we will be in one of the most famous chapters in the Bible, one that you probably have heard the opening verses of this chapter many, many, many times in your life, because it's the chapter that we read just about every Christmas. In some families, this is the thing that the Bible passage that you have to read before the kids get to open the presents. So if you were a child, you're like, just read fast, Grandpa. You know, anyways, whatever your family tradition was. But we're in Luke chapter 2. So open up your Bibles. We'll be in Luke chapter 2. We'll read the passage in its entirety, at least from verse 22 through verse 40. And then we'll come back and look at the three verses in particular that teach us something about Anna. She's a wonderful, wonderful woman of God that God used in a very powerful way in this very particular situation. So as we're reading through, I just invite you to kind of hone in when we get to that section, because if you're like me, you've just kind of blown past this. Because admittedly, she's not the hero of the story at this point. She plays a very critical role in what's going on, but she's not really the one that normally is in the spotlight. So this is Luke chapter 2, and we'll start with verse 22. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it's written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do with him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms, praising God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the nations, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet. Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until age 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped day and night, fasting and praying, coming up to them at this very moment. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Mary and Joseph had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. I want you to imagine the scene. The Temple of Jerusalem, the center point of the nation, the place where all the festivals are celebrated. There are thousands of people in the temple and courtyard. There's jubilant song. There's great sacrifice, great excitement as people offer up their praises and their gifts. And it's the Day of Atonement. And the crowds, after the great festival, leave the temple. And as the attendants to the temple are cleaning things up, getting ready for whatever's next, somebody says, "Who's that? That lady off in the corner. What's she doing?" Somebody says, "Well, that's Anna. She's praying. It's just what she does." Every week, new priests come into the temple. The priests in ancient Israel would be in kind of a rotating schedule. They'd serve for a couple of weeks, then go back to their regular jobs doing other things. It was a great, great honor to serve in the temple of Jerusalem. So a new priest comes into the temple, and he's getting oriented to all the different things. And so whether he's working at the altar that time, or actually, only the high priest goes to the inner sanctum, but. Getting oriented to the various responsibilities around the temple, and shown the different things that he needs to know in order to serve well, he might ask, "Who's that lady in the back room? What's she doing back there?" And somebody would say, "Oh, that's Anna. She's praying and worshiping. It's just what she does." We don't know very much about Anna. There's only 3 verses, but I'd like us to look at the 3 verses and just spend a little bit of loving time with them and see what they show us. Verse 36. There was also a prophet. Anna, just pause there. Now you're in the book of Luke. Flip back a couple of books to Malachi. Malachi was written 400 years prior. And at this point in the nation of Israel, God's speaking through the prophets was more or less, it had more or less ceased. Nothing had been written since Malachi. 400 years of silence. What is God up to? Why are the prophets not speaking? Has God left us? But there's still a prophet, isn't there? At least one. We know that there are more than one. But there's Anna. She's a prophet. And what's she doing? She's praying. She's the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. Asher is a tribe that didn't at this point even have land. It was one of the northern kingdoms that was wiped out by the Assyrian nation. She was from kind of a homeless people. She wasn't even supposed to really be there. She wasn't a Levite or anything else. I mean, there's no particular reason why she should be there. Though there is a precedent in the scriptures of those that would serve in the temple 24/7, those that would be always on call, would be allowed to live in the temple, and she was there in the temple from the tribe of Asher. She was, how's the Bible describe her?
Very old. She was very old.
She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then she was a widow, excuse me, until age 84, or depending on the translation that you're reading. This passage about her age is one of those passages that's kind of ambiguous in Scripture. We don't really know exactly the best way to translate it. It might mean that she had been 84 years a widow, or 84 years, comma, a widow. So, some commentators say that she might have been as old as 105 years, because age 14 was both the earliest that a girl could get married in Israel as the father of a 14-year-old. Let's just say together, ew. But that was a cultural norm, okay? So, assuming she was married around age 14,
ew.
And she'd been married for about 7 years and then made a widow by her husband passing away. 14 plus 7 plus 84, 105. Somewhere between age 84 and 105. And for most of those years, what was she doing? Worshiping. Day and night, fasting and praying, calling out to God on behalf of the people. Calling out to God on behalf of the people. Now, this next little point is admittedly, it's a little bit of biblical speculation, but I think I'm on some solid ground here, so take a thought journey with me. If somebody has been serving in the same place for 80 plus, or somewhere between 60 and 80 years, a long time, chances are she's kind of faded into the background. She didn't have any great title. I mean, she didn't really come from any place important. She's kind of faded into the background. She's one of those people that gets easily overlooked, easily goes without particular notice. Who are the people in your life that get easily overlooked? Or have you ever felt like you've been overlooked at times? Where people just kind of, it's not that they don't appreciate you, they just kind of take you for granted. Oh yeah, she's always there. That's what she does. She worships and she prays. That's what she does. That's why we give her a little room in the back. So old Anna, so she could just do what Anna does. She prays. She worships. She seeks God all the time. She's on the prayer team. Just pray. Who are the people in our world today that go unnoticed? Not unappreciated. We just don't think about them a lot. The janitor in the building. Oh, that's what he always does. That's a gym with the mob. Or if you even know their name. The security guard. People in emergency services. I was talking with Brian just before the service. He's a firefighter. Thank you, by the way. This is a month where we pay special attention, and we're especially grateful for emergency service personnel in our world. But you know what? They're there all the time, patrolling the streets at night. No sirens, no lights, but no fire. All the time. Not unappreciated, just unnoticed. Who are the people in our world, in your world, that are unnoticed? The busboy in a restaurant. The waitress. The security guard in your building. Maintenance manager. The clerk. The checkout teller. Grocery store. Do you know their name? Probably not. There's people that do things that are unnoticed, but not at all unimportant. What's Anna doing all these years? All these tears in the background. What's she doing again? Come on, stop. So she's praying. And is there anything? I mean, we know that if we're Christians and we've read the Bible, some you go, well, yeah, prayer is important, right? Prayer is important. We nod your head. Yes, prayer is important. Prayer isn't a big deal. It's a valuable thing. It's also very difficult to measure, isn't it? How do you know if your prayers are working? Sometimes we see something. Sometimes we don't at all. Sometimes the way that God answers our prayer and it's exactly in His will for how He would, He just answers with no, or later, or wait, or soon but not now. She's doing something unnoticed from a place in life where she goes frequently, unnoticed. Not at all unimportant. Just think, all those thousands of people that have gone through the temple, I mean, hundreds if not thousands at any particular day, all of them, on one level or another, they were longing for the Messiah, the Redeemer of Israel. That was the main thing on the heart of Israel at that point. Let's get these Romans out of here. Let's have our freedom again. Let's get our land back. Let's get our autonomy back. Oh God, would you send the deliverer? Would you send that Savior? And then the day that Jesus actually shows up, this little baby comes into the temple. Those hundreds and hundreds of people wouldn't notice at all, would they? They didn't. It's just another baby, just coming in for a little dedication service. To offer up a couple of doves as an offering, which by the way also tells us something about Mary and Joseph. It tells us that they weren't wealthy. Because in Leviticus, where it lists that requirement, the doves are kind of a concession. For those who can't afford it, they can offer doves. It tells us something about Mary and Joseph and the family in which Jesus was raised. Jesus comes into the temple. Walking past him. Just think of all these people who don't see him. But who sees him? Anna. Now Simeon speaks first. He's outside the temple and somehow he's kind of drawn in and he notices and he says something. His words get recorded. He says something to Mary and Joseph. And no sooner is he finished, coming up to them at that very Anna has been praying for decades for this Christ child. And when he came, she knew. Coming up to them at this very moment, I want you to imagine here in the temple as Mary and Joseph and Jesus are standing there, this woman just kind of coming out of the shadows, that same woman who's been in that back room, who's been worshiping, who's been praying, who's been fasting, who's been calling out to God on behalf of the nation. She just steps out of the darkness and she knows exactly what to do. She knows exactly where to go. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to who? She's the one in this scene that took faith public. It wasn't just a word to Mary and Joseph. She became one of the first evangelists. She was a little preacher in the temple that day, not just a prophet. This is the one. This unnoticed woman doing an often unnoticed, underappreciated thing was God's ambassador at that particular moment. Anna knew just what to do. That's just what she did. She was praying. She was worshiping. She was seeking God on behalf of the people. And spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So what I thought we could do today is as we think of Anna, and we think of the message of her life, is spend some time and thinking about and talking to. Well, actually, I've invited a couple of friends to join me today. And so, Becky, would you help Elaine and Vera? Elaine and Vera, they're part of Bonaventure. So we've got this great little senior service that happens on Sunday afternoons. And so last Sunday when I was talking with this group, and so right up here, Elaine, we have a chair for you. I said, we want to get the perspective of what life is like for somebody that is as old or older than Anna. So you need to be at least 84 years old to qualify. So I'm not going to ask you how old you are, but we're just going to know.
I'm 86.
Okay. All right. So you qualify. Let me grab a microphone over here. It's working. Okay, Vera. Yeah. Oh, you're doing great, honey. Here we go. Thanks for letting me interview you. Wanted to get... How old are you?
94.
No, you know, I wasn't even going to ask necessarily, but I sure appreciate you letting me know.
Yeah.
So, as you look at life after 94 years, or well, 84 plus years, what are some things that you notice that have changed over time?
I truly haven't noticed much change.
I suppose that the people really are the same.
Sort of,
yeah.
To me, they are.
Yeah. And probably the things that mattered back when you were growing up are still the things that matter today.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Elaine, what are some things that you've noticed that have changed over the years?
There's been lots of changes.
Yeah. What have you noticed?
Well, I've noticed that as my husband had a dream. The world is gradually changing from horses and buggies to automobiles.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you've seen some of that. What when people were getting around when you were
growing up?
How did people get around?
Well, we walked most of the time. I walked to school. There was a time when we didn't have a car.
Yeah.
We just took all that for granted. I mean, that was okay. I think we didn't need any to get any exercise equipment. We had it.
That's right. That was kind of built in. That was called going to school, wasn't
that's
it? Yeah, that's right. That's right. PE is built in before and after school. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
What else?
Well, I don't know. What are there other things that you noticed that have changed over the years you want people to be aware of?
Lots of changes.
Yeah.
Things that... seems scandalous to what we could do back then.
Mm-hmm.
The way you dress.
Some of the social values have changed,
right.
Haven't they? Yeah, yeah.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of... Give me...
Well, here's the other question. I mean, we get to talk about this when we meet up on Sundays, but... what is something you're looking forward to? So you're seeing life from better than 80 years.
Forward to being united again with my husband, who has gone on to be with the Lord, and I'm looking forward to Jesus.
Yeah.
As you get older, your priorities change.
I imagine they do, don't they? So when you think about seeing Jesus in heaven, what are some things you're looking forward to about that?
Well, I just can't grasp what it's going to be like. But I like that song, "It Will Be Worth It All When We See Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race to win, see Christ. I'm looking announcement has gone on to heaven. I'm looking forward to going to heaven.
Yeah.
The older you get, the more you get, the more you want to look forward.
That your life gets more oriented around.
When you're young and healthy, you know, you're not in any hurry.
Yeah, some of these young bucks, they have no idea, do they? They have no idea.
That's right.
Yeah. Vera, how about you? What's something you're looking forward to?
I, too, want to go to heaven and meet my forebears and I think that's the main thing.
Yeah. That's the great adventure.
Yes.
Still to go on. Now, I know you've been a believer for many years. How have you found your faith to give you strength over the years?
I guess because I was into it at all times. It's there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think sometimes for younger folks, you know, even those that are believers and trying to live out their faith, it often seems like there's other things that are bigger things to worry about than just staying close to Christ and things like that. I mean, it sometimes is a struggle for us for Jesus to be the center of every day. Yeah.
I've not found it to be a struggle.
Yeah.
It seems to be a natural part of living.
Yeah. And one of the things I'm so excited with, now that we have a Christian community at Bonaventure, there's a worship service there every week, is the Christians in that retirement complex are able to get to know each other, and you're working together as kind of ambassadors for Jesus. Yeah.
I was amazed when I went to Bonaventure, and I don't know if it's fully true what my interpretation, but there was nothing in the religious line.
Right.
And I wondered why you weren't there.
Well, one of the reasons why we're glad to be here is because God placed us here. So now in our backyard is this beautiful mission field, and I'm excited because God has placed some missionaries at Bonaventure. One of them's named Vera. The other one's named Elaine. And God is using you. God is using you. And others like Harriet and Eleanor, they're also are connected with our congregation. God is using all of you to do some really amazing things. Yeah. So how I was hoping we would end up is, I'm going to give one little challenge to all of them, and then I was hoping that Elaine, that you would pray for us, and would you pray for me? Okay. Well, let me jab them one more time. Oh, okay. What's your favorite verse?
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus.
You hear that, you young bucks? Okay. All right. Because as we look at this prophet, Anna, and she was more than 84 years old, and she'd been doing something that was kind of overlooked, and doing prayer, but that people often overlook or think is less important. Well, that people often don't think that prayer is important, even though it's tremendously important. The person that we actually overlook, the one who is there and promises to be there in every situation in life is Jesus. And so my last little jab to all of us, and to myself included, because remember, if I'm doing this, it means there's three fingers pointing back at me for every finger pointing out, is, have you been noticing Jesus in your day-to-day life? He really is the answer. He really is the solution to the problem. Because he addresses the problem of the human heart. So if you're somebody that hasn't yet given your faith to Christ, saying, Jesus, come into my life, lead me, guide me, I recognize that I need you. Today could be a good day to start. It could be a really good day to start.
maybe if you're like a lot of us, myself included, you just kind of get distracted by other things. A lot of other things seem like they're more pressing and more important, and it's more fun to worry about those things. Maybe today could be a reminder to get that larger perspective that what we really need is Jesus. Yeah.
Repeat it over and over again, that verse. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let free grasping be known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding give guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus.
Yes. And so that's when we're looking for that peace.
That's right.
We've got to give it to the Lord, don't we?
Yeah, we need to memorize it so you have it.
That's right.
Because
otherwise the devil's going to try to steal it away from you. You got to lock it in your heart.
Right. I remember my daughter called me up a few weeks ago. Please tell me that verse again.
That's a good life verse. Well, Elaine, would you pray for us? Would you pray for us?
Well, maybe pray
for all the... Would you pray for the young families and anybody that's younger than 86, okay? So anybody that's younger than 86, that we would remember to trust God in all life situations. And then would you pray for me?
Sure.
Okay. Because I struggle with it too.
Okay. So your name is?
My name's Andrew.
Andrew.
That's right.
Dear Father, we thank you, Lord, for this precious time here by this congregation. And Lord, I just pray, oh God, that you'll give peace in our hearts here. Help us to remember, I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he's trusted thee. Lord, we need to carry that around with us every place we go. And Father, I just pray, oh God, if there's hurting people here today, this will be a real comfort to them. And I pray in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Elaine. Let's thank Elaine and Vera for sharing today.